second message on God absolutely. This message is entitled, God Speaks Absolutely. God Speaks Absolutely. There are times when people say, God spoke to me. Have you ever been a little bit skeptical about someone saying that? And wondered, well, did he really? I mean, did you hear his voice? Was it audible? How did he speak to you? How does that work exactly? How did you know that it was God when he spoke to you? Does God even really speak to people these days? And truly, some people don't believe that. There are traditions amongst Christianity that say that God doesn't necessarily do that, that we have the Bible and that's it, that there are no other avenues for God to communicate with us. I'm not one of those. But some are very, very skeptical about God speaking, and maybe for good reason, as it's been abused. I remember being in Bible school, and one of the favorite pickup lines of young men to young women in Bible school is to approach them and say, you know, God told me that you're going to be my wife someday. And usually the lady's response was, well, I'm not going anywhere near you, so obviously God didn't tell you nothing. Or you get a letter in the mail from a ministry that says, if you'll just give me $100, God has spoken it. He'll multiply your money tenfold, a hundredfold. And we want to respond, well, why don't you give me your $100? Let God multiply yours. And God, does God speak? Is he talking to us? What does it mean when we say God spoke to us? I know for a fact God speaks to people all the time. Because he's spoken to me. I know that he's spoken to many, many of you. When I say spoken, I have never heard God's voice speak like I'm speaking to you right now. Not one time. But I guarantee I've heard God speak as he's led our lives. And this morning I want to teach you some principles that will help us to understand how God speaks and to walk through a process that you can more clearly hear God's voice. Now, what you do with that once you hear it is up to you. You can obey, you can disobey, you can agree or disagree with God. It's bad to disagree and disobey. Always ends up poorly. But you can do with what you want. The thing is how do we hear? And how do we recognize God's voice? John chapter 16, verse 5 to 16 reads this way. Why don't you read it with me? Now I am going to him who sent me, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, how does a person guide you into all truth? They've got to talk to you, right? Now, of course, they could show up and just say, follow me. But Jesus already did that. Jesus communicated with us. We're going to celebrate his birth in just a couple of weeks. Jesus wanted to communicate with us. He wanted to show us the way. He wanted to talk to us. And so he came to earth, God with us, in flesh, so that he could teach us and communicate and show us and guide us. But he could only be in one place at one time, limiting himself to human flesh. And so he went back up to heaven, and that's what this scripture is talking about. And he said he sent the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can be in and with all of us all at the same time. We don't all get to see each other during the week, but God's with every one of us. He's leading us by his Spirit, and he's talking to each one of us. That's God's plan. He's going to go away, send the Holy Spirit, so that we can all hear his voice. So how do we do that? I want to give you six steps this morning on how to learn how to understand when God speaks and what to do with that. Number one, hearing depends on our nearness to God. Say that with me. Hearing depends on our nearness to God. Here's a scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. The scripture is this. Isaiah is kind of, well, he's in the spirit on the Lord's day, it says, and he's seeking God. He's hungry for God. He's praying. And in that time of intimacy, God opens his eyes and shows him what's going on in the heavenlies. Therefore, he's close enough for God to ask a question. Who am I going to send and who's going to go for us? And Isaiah was close enough, near enough, where he could say, I'm your man. I'm going. I'll do it. Many times we have a struggle hearing from God is because we're just not close enough to God. He wants to talk to us, and he wants to talk to us by his Spirit. Now, sometimes we don't recognize his voice. And here's what I know. I don't recognize a stranger's voice, but I recognize the people near me, right? You can receive a call and it's from one of your loved ones, and they don't have to say, "Hi, this is," and tell you their name. You know who they are. You recognize their voice. But if a stranger calls and I don't see the name on dial ID, calling ID, I have to say, "Well, who is this?" Because I don't know you, if I pick up at all. Strangers, we don't know their voice. People we know their voice. That's a critical piece to this whole puzzle. Are you a stranger to God? Therefore, it's difficult to hear him. That we just haven't put ourselves in a place of nearness to our Savior. Jesus said this in John 10, "My sheep know my voice." How do the sheep know his voice? Because he's with them all the time. He's guiding them, leading them, directing them. And it's from a shepherd's point of view, it's a common thing for all the shepherds to bring their sheep around one watering area. And the sheep get kind of intermingled. But when it's time then to move from the watering area out to pasture again, the shepherd just calls. And only the sheep who recognize that particular shepherd's voice will break away from the rest and go follow him. And likewise, the other shepherds, if it's not their shepherd's voice, they don't pay attention. But they pay attention to the one that's their shepherd and they follow his voice. Are you near enough to God to recognize his voice when he does speak? Some of our people that are close to us that are not strangers, but the near ones to us, sometimes they don't even have to talk, do they? You can just recognize in their body language. Or husbands and wives, you can recognize the communication in the look, right? They don't even have to speak. The look is all you need. And they've communicated really, really loudly. Well, God doesn't come down and give us a glare or give us a look, but through circumstances and through things that we know that there's just an unsettling, that we know God is talking to us. We felt that inside of our lives, inside of our spirits. What kinds of things does God talk about when we're near to him? Well, what kinds of things does a father talk about to his kids? He talks about teaching and training and loving and affection and approvals and correction and all the things that a father would talk to a child about, God desires to talk to us about. God with me, he doesn't speak long when he speaks to me, but he speaks in very, very clear statements. And I remember one time being very, very moved by God with his affection. That I often struggle with self-promotion. If there's a ministry where the person is very self-promoting, it makes me uncomfortable. And I'm just not that person. I don't work that way. And I was wrestling with that, thinking about our church and how we might reach more people. And I had just come out of a meeting where there were some other guys that were there. And they were very, very comfortable and aggressive self-promoters. And I felt the pressure of, oh man, God, if I'm going to do some things like they're doing, do I have to be a self-promoter? I don't think I can do that. And I was struggling and wrestling at night. And I just finally landed on the fact that, you know what? I'm not a self-promoter. It's never going to happen. I refuse to be somebody I'm not. I'm not going to be that person. And just in my spirit, God said, I just really love that about you. That's what parents say. That's what fathers say to their kids. You're you. And I love you the way I made you. When you're near to God, when he's not a stranger, you begin to learn to hear his voice. So number one, we've got to be near. Number two, hearing depends on our willingness to hear. Hearing depends on our willingness to hear. Are we willing to hear God's voice? Sometimes we want to run away from our spouse or run away from our parents because we don't want to hear what they're going to say. We avoid a teacher or we avoid an authority figure. We don't want to hear them. And we might say, I want to hear God speak to me. And I want to ask, do you really? Do you really want to hear what God has to say? Maybe we'd be a little more uncomfortable with wanting to hear that if we really knew what God had to say. Samuel said this to God when God was calling him in 1 Samuel. It says, the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. We need that attitude. God, speak, for your servant is what? Listening. We've got to be willing to hear. Are we listening? Is our ear attuned to God's voice? We may want to hear from God, but do we expect to hear from God? When my family comes home, when my kids come home, they expect to have conversation. When Sandra comes home from work and I come home from work, we expect to have communication. If we don't talk, then something's obviously wrong. We have to figure out what's the problem. We expect that. Do we expect it from God? The Bible doesn't seem to think that God talking to us is a big deal. In the Old Testament, God would just speak. And he'd speak through many, many different avenues. In the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm going to send my comforter and he's going to guide you. It's pretty simple. But we make hearing from God a kind of a spooky, weird thing. Is it weird to hear from people you love? No, of course not. Then why is it weird to hear from God? Well, because it just is. I don't know where he is and I don't know what he's saying. And it's just weird. Well, let's get through that, can we? It shouldn't be strange to hear from God. It should be normal. He's our Father, and he asked us to follow him. Familiarity breeds comfort. The more familiar you are with God, the more comfortable you're with his voice. Sometimes we hear from God and we just don't know it's him that's talking. We need to recognize that. We'll get to that in just a minute. I remember hearing from God another time when Pastor Couchman retired, and it was our decision whether or not we were going to stay at Abundant Life or go somewhere else because our pastor was leaving. And what do as the associate? And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And God directed one way and that didn't work out. Directed another way and that didn't work out. And finally, when we prayed, God was very, very clear. And he just said, well, what do you want to do? And there was another opportunity fairly close to here. And I said, well, God, I don't, you know, there's this or there's this. Abundant Life or this other place. And God said, well, what do you want to do? I'll bless you if you go. I'll bless you if you stay. And I said, well, I love these people. I don't want to change necessarily. So I think I'll stay. He says, fine, stay. I'll bless you. And that was 25 years ago. And God is still blessing. It wasn't strange. We needed to hear from God. And our Father says, I know you need to hear from me. Here's what I'm going to help you do. Are we willing to hear from him? How do you know when you're willing? It's by how often you seek him. That's how you know. Well, I am willing. I just don't want to talk to him. I am willing. I just never pray. Well, you're not willing. If you never pray, you're not willing. You follow? Your prayer life will identify how you are willing. So number one, we got to be near him. Number two, we need to be willing to hear from him. Number three, hearing depends on the disposition of our ears. Hearing depends on the disposition of our ears. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9 to 16 says this. He who has ears, let him hear. Isn't that weird when God says that? If you got ears, let him hear. Well, I got ears. That's not what he's talking about. Through hearing, they do not hear or understand. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, but blessed are your ears because they hear. Not talking about physical ears. He's talking about the heart ears. Is your heart supple? Is it pliable? Is it welcoming? Is your heart wanting to hear from God? Are you near? Are you willing? Well, what about your heart? Is your heart eager to hear from God? I'm not always sure I do. Sometimes I know what God's going to say because I know his word and I know I've been rebellious and I know I've resisted him and I don't want to talk to God because I know what he's going to say. Like, kind of like Jonah. God, I know what you're going to say. You're going to tell me to go to those people and I don't want to go to those people. And God says, that's exactly what I'm going to tell you. So Jonah ran away and it turned out really bad. If you ever want to be throw up, just do what God says not to do. Or try to run from his word. It always turns out bad. And doesn't life get kind of throw up-y when you disobey God? Jonah figured that out really, really clear. It's much better to listen and to obey. God directed us 15 years ago when we were able to purchase our home here in Cupertino. Then a couple of years ago, the prices were just going up and up, and we were crazy. Thinking, this is going to be awesome. We're just going to cash in right now. And like, wow, we should just, kids are out of school. Let's sell our Cupertino house. We'll move equidistant to the church in Sunnyvale, save money, buy a cheaper one, make all kinds of money. It's going to be awesome. And after about 3 days of prayer, God said, I gave you this house. I'll tell you when to sell it. That's the way God talks to me. Simple, short, one sentence. Okay. Now, I could have disobeyed. If I had disobeyed, we would have lost about 50%, now about 100% of the value. But since then, God is blessed. Now, that doesn't mean the price may not go down. But the fact of the matter is, when you hear God, he will lead you correctly. But do we have ears to hear? Is our heart supple enough to hear from God? If you don't have ears to hear, you won't listen and you'll run from him. You don't have ears to hear when you don't want to listen to God. You don't have ears to hear when you don't like what you know he will say. I remember praying at this front area right here saying, God, reach the lost in our city. God, reach the lost in our city. And God said, what are you asking me to do what I told you to do? Oh, yeah, you're right. You told me to reach the lost in the city. Sometimes we pray things that God already told us to do. You don't have ears to hear when you prefer other voices that are counter to God's voice. So number one, you got to be near. Number two, you have to be willing. Number three, what's the disposition of your heart? Will you do what he says if he actually spoke? Or would he just be wasting his breath? Number four, hearing depends on the absence of competing noise. Hearing depends on the absence of competing noise. Matthew chapter 1, verse 35 says this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He didn't go into a busy place. He went up to a solitary place. He needed to get the distracting noises out of his mind. And some of us are so used to the distracting noises, we can't function when those noises are gone. Some of us, some of you students can relate that you're so used to the chaos when it gets really quiet, you can't concentrate. Some people like to study with the music on or study in a crowded area because that kind of comforts them for some crazy reason. And when it's too quiet, they get nervous. I have a friend that lives right over here near where 280 goes by. And there's a constant sound of the freeway. It sounds like waves. Just the of the cars that go by. And she says that when she gets to a quiet place, she can't sleep because it's too quiet. It's not noisy enough. Her ears have been conditioned to the noise. Are our spiritual ears conditioned to the noise so that we can't hear God because there's so many noises going on? It's just, he's just one of the many that's competing in there. Jesus got away to a solitary place and he got quiet. Sometimes we may not be able to discern 100% what God is saying, but here's what I know. You can often discern what God is not saying and then work a process of elimination. God will not say something that's counter to his word. God will not say something that he's already told you to do. He doesn't play back and forth with you. God's not going to say something that's against his nature. God's not going to tell you something that violates his commands. So you can start to whittle away the things that you know he's not saying and then boil it down to the things that maybe he is and start to discern. Eliminate the competing noises. Know who it is and who it isn't. One time when our kids were little, Laura was on chat. This is before texts and all that. And remember they used to have, what is that thing called? Was it Messenger? Or what was the thing? The very early chat thing? What was it? iChat, that's maybe what it was. And we used to always, I used to do it at least. I wanted to know who the kids were talking to online. That they knew that if you're online, it's free reign. I'm your dad. I get to break in anytime I want. There's no such thing as privacy in our home. Just forget it. And so she was chatting online. And what I didn't know that she was chatting with Pastor Justice. And she was chatting with Justice. Remember that? You know, yeah, you do. She's chatting with Justice online, and they're having a normal conversation. It's no big deal. They're just having a good time, and I'm reading what they're saying, and so on. This is when he was back in school, and I thought, Laura, scoot over. I'm going to take over. And he didn't know it was me on the other end. And so we start to chat, and I tried to keep it like her for a while. And then pretty soon I'd interject things like, oh, man, my dad is so cool. Oh, man. I just love him, and I just love, and it went on and on for a little while. He's just the greatest. You know, what do you think to him? And he was appropriate. He was very cool. He's talking to the pastor's daughter. He knows better. He's not a dumb guy. But then after not very long, maybe just a few sentences, there's this pause and there's this, wait a minute, what just happened? ... That he discerned that the voice that he was talking to was not the same voice. That he knew who was not the right voice. And then, of course, I let it out and said, ah, it's not Laura. Joke's on you. But you can tell when the voices shift, and if we're distracted by other voices, and if maybe other voices were functioning, he might have got himself in trouble, and I might have got a word I didn't want to hear. But when you're right, it all works out. You understand what I'm saying, right? Distracting voices. Who are the distracting voices in your life? Other philosophies, the ways of the world, politicians, entertainment figures. Who are the distracting voices? I have no idea what was going on over there. I want to hear it afterwards. Because if it was that good, I want to know. What are you listening to that's noisy that keeps you from hearing God's voice? We talked about solitude a few weeks ago. We need more solitude to train our ears to hear the voice of God so that we need to be near. We need to be willing. We need to have a heart disposition that's right, and we need to eliminate the distracting voices. Number five, hearing depends on identifying how God speaks. Hearing depends on identifying how God speaks. God speaks in many ways. I thoroughly believe this. The Bible is true. The Bible doesn't say that God stopped talking in various ways, and he still speaks today. The first way that God speaks is through the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that it's God's inspired word. That through the word of God, he will talk to you as you read God's word. He'll continually speak to you as you listen to that. Sometimes I read my Bible, or people say, I read my Bible, and I don't know why, or I don't know what God's trying to say to me. Well, maybe because it's just you're not tuned in to God's voice. When you get into a cell phone range that your cell phone doesn't pick up, do you throw away your phone? Or do you get yourself in a different position? Sometimes we treat God that way. God, I'm not listening to you. I guess you're not talking. God said, no, I'm talking. You're just in a wrong place. Get into a place where you can receive my voice, and then you'll hear me because I'm pretty clear. So through God's word, if you're not in God's word, church, that's his first and foremost. He will speak to you through his word. He'll be very, very clear in his direction. And don't play Bible roulette. God doesn't speak to you that way. What do I mean by Bible roulette? I mean by just randomly opening the scripture, grabbing a scripture, and then say, well, that must be God's word. It's totally out of context. It's totally, you know, not in the way God spoke. And you just kind of manipulate God's word that way. Old joke, of course, the guy was trying to play Bible roulette, and he opened the scripture, and the verse he pointed to, it says, and he went out and killed himself. Well, that can't be God's will. He wouldn't want me to kill myself. And he opened up the scripture again, pointed down, and the scripture said, go out and do likewise. You get it, right? When you read the Bible that way, you can not get what God's saying. Read the Bible systematically. That's the way God wrote it. Let's read it that way. Come the first of the year, our theme for the year, I'm letting the cat out of the bag a little early. It's called the Bible First Lifestyle. We're going to spend next year digging into God's word and learning how to really get the most out of it. And we're going to start on January 1, all of us as a church, a systematic reading plan through the entire scripture. And if you'll follow along, you'll read the whole Bible in a year, and you'll read some parts multiple times. God is talking to us. Let's talk to him in the way he designed for us to hear. The next bullet point is he talks through people. He talks through people. Now, this is to be careful with the God told me to tell you something type of thing. I've always felt like if God wants to talk to me, he'll talk to me. Sandra never goes to Audrey and says, you know, Audrey, tell Dad this is what I, unless it's a gift or something like that. But otherwise, she'll tell me if she wants me to hear her voice. Okay, God will say, but as you have counselors and mentors and people that are more mature than you, that have been around a little bit more than you, it's good to have those people in your life because they can pray with you and help you discern when the Lord's voice is actually speaking. So you've got to have those people. That's why our small groups are so important, to have those relationships so you can bounce ideas and thoughts off and get other people to pray with you. Circumstances, God speaks to you through those. We've already talked a little bit about Jonah. And I tell you every February when Missions Month comes around, as we had just terrible offerings when I disobeyed God and I cut our missionary support. And for 3 weeks, our mission offering or our total offerings were just terrible. And through that circumstance, I realized God was talking. He was trying to get my attention through the circumstance. So sometimes when things just aren't. And I'm not talking about that they're necessarily bad. They're just off. You know what I mean? There's a difference, right? God's word can be 100% for you, but the situation still be hard. We got to get that. You can be smack dab in the center of God's will and the situation be very, very difficult. Cut to the disciples on the boat in the storm. Bad situation in the center of God's will. Open doors don't mean necessarily it's God's will. Oh, the door opened. It must be God. No. You got to hear his voice. The devil can open doors too to get us distracted. The devil opened a really wide door and said, you can eat the fruit. You can do it. The door's open. Nobody's stopping you. So let's not yet have circumstances guide us so much that way. But you know what I mean? When it's just off, like this, my spirit is not right here. I'm going to wait and I'm going to pray and I'm going to seek counsel and I'm going to wait and hear God's word. Do visions and dreams. I've had 2 or 3 visions in my lifetime where I believe God really, really spoke through a particular dream. He doesn't do that to me a lot, but it does to others. I know Julius, I don't know if he's here this morning. He gets dreams a lot. I know a lot of people that have gotten saved in Islamic countries where the Bible is not allowed to be preached and the gospel is not allowed to be preached. God still shows up and gives them visions and dreams because he wants to talk to them. Doesn't mean every dream is God's voice. Sometimes the dreams I have is because I ate too much beef too late. It's just the way it is. But sometimes God talks and we ought to pay attention. Acts chapter 8:26 says, and Hebrews also says that sometimes God can talk to us through angels. Now here's the tricky part. Hebrews says we might have met an angel, but we didn't know they were an angel. So I can't say I've ever met an angel, but I can't say I haven't. Because the Bible says I wouldn't know. It might have just been a person. That's why it's good to be kind to everybody. Because you wouldn't like to be rude to an angel. Sometimes God speaks that way. Sometimes God speaks to your mind. That's probably, besides the Bible, that's probably the most common for me. That God will just speak to my mind. And isn't it strange for those of us, and maybe you're one of those, that God speaks to your mind a lot, that his voice sounds like your voice? When I hear God's voice, it doesn't sound like Charlton Heston. It sounds like me. And that's what makes it tricky. Kind of like, whoa, is that me or is that you? And usually I know that it's God when it's something that I didn't think before or it's something I don't want to do. But I already knew it was right. Can you follow me? God's not always going to tell you things you don't want. Sometimes it's great stuff. But it's just something that I know. I knew that was the right choice. I just didn't want to make it. And then God has spoken and he's given you clarity. Hearing God's voice. When you feel those promptings, obey them. Number 6, what if I'm not sure what I heard is from God? What if I'm not sure? Is it my voice or is it God's voice? Here's what I've always practiced. When in doubt, don't. All throughout the Bible, when people have said, well, I know what God said, or I'm not sure that God said, let's just take a chance. It always ends bad. Think King Saul. Oh, Samuel's late. He's not showing up. We better take matters into our own hands. When that happens, it's bad. And God actually ripped the kingdom away from King Saul and gave it to David, someone who would actually obey what he said. It goes slower when you live life that way. You can make decisions faster, but what good is it to make a wrong decision faster? That doesn't make much sense to me. I'd rather make the right decision if it takes longer. But I can't wait that long. God will be there. Don't worry. He's your Father. He'll lead you. He'll direct you. So let's get near to Him. Be willing to hear. Remove the distractions. Make sure the disposition of your ears is right. Make sure you've exercised the different ways that God likes to, or that God uses to speak. And then discern whether or not it's God speaking to you. Some people flip it on the other side. Then they don't rearrange the furniture without praying. Does God want me to do this? Should I eat this omelet? God, give me a sign. You have to tell children that stuff. When kids are little, you got to tell them everything. When you're mature, you should know already what Father wants before He has to tell you. So I'm not saying don't pray. I'm saying there are some things you already know. And you don't have to pray about those things. You know you should be reaching out to lost people. God, should I reach out to my neighbor? God gives you just a cosmic duh. Yes, reach out to your neighbor. What are you asking me for? Immature people ask those, God, should I be faithful at church? God, should I be faithful with my offerings? God, should... Yes, He's already told you that. You don't have to pray about that stuff. But decisions that you make that maybe aren't clear in God's word, you have to pray about those. Whether like, do we move to Portland? Do we move to Florida? You got to pray. And God will lead and God will direct and God will guide. And when He does, He settles you. And you know in your heart, He'll give you that peace inside. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21 says this, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Let me give you some tests. I don't know if it's God. Is it God? I don't know. I'm not sure. Here's some tests. Is it consistent with God's word? If it's consistent with what the Bible says, then pretty good chance it's God, because He's already said it once in the Bible. Next bullet. Is it consistent with God's nature? In other words, if you hear something that violates God's nature or God's word, it ain't God. Let's just settle it. It's not God if it violates His word. And, oh, but I have to. No, you don't. You have to obey. Oh, but if I don't take this job and it's going to violate some principle of God's, or it's going to cause me to have to, you know, violate my family or something, it's not God. Say no. It'll save you a lot of heartache. Next bullet. Is there confirmation from other mature believers? It's a good thing to seek out people who will pray and who you know pray and hear from God. Have a network of people that you can go to and that will pray with you. And then just ask them what they think. It's not always the fact their voices will be true. When I was considering coming or staying here after youth ministries, I sought out some of my leaders and I don't think they prayed about it because they gave me a word that wasn't God. And one of those leaders even today says, oh man, I'm so glad you disobeyed me. Because he told me to leave. He said, you people will never respect me. But God had said, no, this is what you need to do. So it doesn't always, but you need to weigh out what other mature believers say. And then test it with time. Test it with time. If you're not sure, let time play out. Let God work. Let God unravel. Let God show you, you know, different things to do. Should I ever question something I think I've heard from God? Should I ever question that? Well, if it requires you to make a major life-changing decision in a very short period of time, I would think about it. This is not Bible. This is just good common spiritual sense. If you hear something said, like you hear other traditions say, oh, Jesus is coming back next week. Sell everything you have. It's urgent. Got to do it now. No. I always wondered, why do you want to sell everything you have? If Jesus is coming back, what good's the money going to do you? So if it requires you to make a quick decision that is life-changing in a short period of time, I'd question that and pray it through. Make sure it's right. Next one, if it requires you to go deeply into debt, well, because God says debt's not very good. Now, there's something that's good debt, like a house purchase, and you can write the taxes, interest off and so on. But if it requires you to go deeply in debt where it's a pressure, I wouldn't do it because God's word says it's not good stewardship. So be careful. If it places someone else in a position of awkwardness, compromise, or danger, If your decision is going to cause someone else to compromise, I would question that. Or if it puts them in danger, I would question that. Make sure. They say, what about the missionaries, God? And they went over into terrible places and they brought their family. Well, they had to wait. I didn't say don't do it. I said you question and you make sure. And then you obey when God makes it clear. Next one, if it requires you to break with family or important relationships. There are lots of different cult groups that say when you join our cult, you have to break relationships. Well, then that's not God, because God's all about relationships. God's all about family unity. Next one, if it creates unrest in trusted, mature Christian friends or counselors that you have shared with. If everybody around you is saying, we're not feeling comfortable about this, then don't do it yet. Let it settle. We operate this way in our church board, if you don't know that, in our church eldership. We always act in unanimity. Because if somebody's unsettled, then maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to say something that the rest of us aren't hearing. And so we'll wait. And we'll wait till everybody's on board or until somebody submits, and then we'll move forward. Because it's important to hear God. In Acts chapter 15, the disciples said, it appeared it was good to God and to us. When you have unity that way, you can go in power. So be careful. Oswald Chambers says this, and I'll quit. Get in the habit of saying, speak, Lord, and life will be a romance. That's a good statement. Get in the habit of saying, speak, Lord, and life will become a romance. God will lead your life. In summary, God will lead your life if you are near to Him. If you don't have a prayer life, you can't expect to hear from God. You got to have a prayer life. That's drawing near. If you're not willing to hear from God, you're going to struggle. I know what you're saying, God. I don't want to listen. Well, then why would he waste his breath? Okay, number three, you have to have the right disposition of your ears. Is your heart in the right place? Are you practicing some sin that you know is there that you ought to get rid of? It might be difficult to hear from God when your heart's not right. Clean out the distractions. What's distracting you? What are the voices that are causing you to not be in tune? If your reception is bad, it's probably because you're in the wrong place. Get into a better place and watch the reception become clearer. Learn the different ways that God does speak and invest your time there. And then learn to test God's word. And here's what I'll echo what Oswald Chambers says. It's so great to know that you can go to God and he will lead you every step of the way. Because that's what he said. He said, follow me, right? If Jesus said, follow me, he wasn't intending on running away from you. And he wasn't intending on confusing you. His intention was to lead you. And when you do that, you'll be able to live a life that's romantic. Amen. Pastor Sean? Amen.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road in Cupertino, California.